We're in Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come, and God, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes. And Lord, I ask that you would take your word, Lord, and continue to build on it. Give your people who are listening, Lord, with their Bibles open and their hearts lifted towards heaven and their ears attentive to the Holy Spirit, that you would continue to add to their understanding, God. And may you receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I am but a servant of the Lord. And so we want to continue on in this, that God may receive the glory that is due him for giving us this word. Daniel chapter 2, I'm starting at verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent or harsh?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. I want you to see that Daniel went to the men that he knew, who knew God and who would pray in agreement with him. I also want you to see that Daniel was respectful in his request. He had no idea of why they were coming to take their lives, but he respectfully asked, and then he was granted permission to talk to the king. That they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was asking the Lord for wisdom for this. We need to know God so that our lives are not taken. We didn't know anything about this. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, God. Praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we ask of you. And you have made known to us the king's demand." Amen. Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, had been given his orders. They started killing the wise men. It wasn't as though that they just took their time, but when Nebuchadnezzar gave that order, they went straightway and started executing the order. Now, and they came looking for Daniel and his friends. See, they were known in the king's court and named among the numbers of the wise men. Thus they were on the list, even though they were not present for all that has just taken place. They were not there in the king's court when the king made the demand. Now you see this. I know that you who are born again, who love the Lord, who will study the word, that you see this is the time that God has ordained to bring out his chosen vessel. Oh, my goodness, Daniel is a chosen vessel of the Lord, and God says, "I'm taking him out of obscurity. He wasn't present then because I didn't need him then, but I need him now, so I'm picking him up. I'm picking him up among the vessels, and I'm bringing out my chosen vessel." God has given these four young men, and they are still young men. He's given them wisdom and understanding in all matters. And the icing on the cake is that Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And they, when examined by the king, if you remember, were found to be 10 times better than all who had just told the king, "No one can do what you have asked today, king." Daniel and his three friends were found 10 times better than those who were standing before the king, but yet they were not present. All is in God's control. All is in God's timing. If our hearts could receive that every day that we wake up and we listen to a news report or a report comes to us from the doctor, from a family member, from whatever, when a report comes to us that we remember that God is in control. With wisdom and counsel from his friends, Daniel asked Arioch, why is this command gone out from the king and why is it so harsh? Arioch, he explains this to Daniel, why this is happening. And so, this is what I believe. In all arrogance, the collective wise men left Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah out of the party the king had called them to. I believe that they were jealous of these four young men because when they were examined by the king marveled at them. And remember, it says, it's recorded, they were 10 times better. What you have to keep in mind is that they belong to God. When we belong to God, God gives us gifts that we may shine for him to bring him praise and glory from all those around, that the excellence of God may be revealed through us, that he may shine through us. He says, this is my chosen vessel. This one belongs to me. Now look. Now listen. Even as a slave, because remember, Daniel is a slave. He's been made into a eunuch. In a foreign land, in the palace and government, God is able to work. Amen? It doesn't matter. Daniel's in Babylon. He's no longer in Jerusalem. And God is able to work. He is not left in Jerusalem in the temple. Amen? He is not left at your church meeting place. Amen? When you leave the church, God is not left there. God is where his people are. See, remember, they said, you know, the gods do not dwell with people, the little g's. But our God dwells with his people. He desires fellowship with us, for we can do nothing apart from him. So Daniel, he then asked the king to give him time, and he will give the king his interpretation. The men who surrounded the king, God used them. I want you to see what God's doing through this whole episode, this whole dream. He used those men who were the brightest and the best of all their countries and of all their religious activities to say, we are not able to reveal this, king. There is not a flesh and blood man who can do this. Though we are learned in school, we don't have any wisdom as far as this is concerned. And so now, the stage is set, and God brings this man on the scene. Daniel lets the king know, this is not something a man can do, but there is a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar went to bed, and he began thinking about the future. Basically, he was ruling the world, and it was his word alone that all of life hung on. He didn't have to have a Senate or a Congress. He didn't have to have a vote. He just spoke. And whatever he spoke, it happened then. There was no delay. There was no one who could vote it down. There was no one who could say no. Whatever he said went. And in the natural, a person with this authority and who had rule over such a great kingdom would be thinking of the future and how his father had passed the kingdom on to him, and how he would one day hand it over to his son, and on and on. Daniel goes back to the four and sought the Lord for his mercies, that their lives might be spared. God answers contrary to what the wise men had told the king. In verse 19, says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God has given Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. I know you may think I'm repeating myself, but you need to understand this. We were told this in chapter 1. The dream revealed the interpretation given. Everything the pagan said could not be done, God does through his servant. This is amazing. It truly is amazing what God did here. We think about the life of Joseph. I am sure that in Daniel's mind, he could not help but to rehearse that scripture. What had been told to him, what he had read through the ages, what God did through Joseph. Even so, Daniel knew to whom he needed to inquire to find the answers, the God of heaven. Daniel is filled with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for the revelation of the dream and its meaning. In Daniel's praise, we see Daniel's acknowledgement of God. In Daniel's praise and thanksgiving to God, he is overflowing in praise to God for this revelation given to him. Bless the name of God. He has all wisdom. The time and season of kings and their length of rule are in God's control. For he allows them for a season, and he changes the time of their influence. He gives wisdom and knowledge, which is what Daniel needed. He made known to Daniel the present, the future, and the eternal. Remember, there's the rock that smashes and then fills the whole earth and becomes a mountain. By revealing to Daniel the dream and then the interpretation of the dream, he revealed that in the darkness, King Nebuchadnezzar had fears of the future for his kingdom and what would become of it. God had plans for this king to reveal to his servant, to record for generations to us this day his plans. God himself, the light of the world, revealed his eternal plan. Daniel says, "You know, O God, you were thinking what will be in the latter days and what would come to pass after this. After your rule is what you were thinking. And he, God, who reveals secrets, has made known to you what will be. And as for me, I'm nothing special, nor do I have more wisdom. But for our sakes, God has revealed this to me, for our lives, for us. For us, that there would be mercy for us." Now, these are my thoughts on this, okay? "O King, that you not take our lives for the failure of your most wise men, your sorcerers, your magicians, your soothsayers that you have gathered from every kingdom you have conquered. But God has given the dream and the interpretation to encourage his people." Daniel recognizes this. "To reveal he is God. He is Lord. He is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who raises up kings and removes kings." Leaders reflect the nation, the heart of a nation. If you are not satisfied with those who are in places of leadership, you have to understand it is a reflection of the nation as a whole. I'm not saying that it reflects you personally. I am saying that the leaders that are in place now reflect the heart of the people of this world. In each nation, the rulers that they have set in place are a reflection of the heart of people and how they've turned away from God. That's what you were seeing with all of that. Now, Daniel has the answer. God has given him the answer. Let's read verses 24. Let's start there and we'll read. "Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.'" Daniel now has the answer. He's given the Lord the praise that is due his name, and now he's ready. "Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.'" Arioch's trying to take a little glory for himself. "The king answered and said to Daniel," whose name was Belteshazzar. Remember, they had been renamed and given Babylonian names. "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after these, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. Even though you don't understand it, he's made it known. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. See, Daniel's not taking any pride in himself. He realizes that God, because he went to God and he said, God, you have to show me this. God, you have to give me the dream and give me the interpretation to save our lives. He said, but for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Now, I want to read verses 31 through 35. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. Amen to that. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel, now, by the revelation of God, speaks the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him his dream. This is what he wants to hear. Nebuchadnezzar was a master builder of temples to the gods. That was one of the things that he was known for. So no other one of his court could tell the king this dream to him. And they admitted this to him. They told him this couldn't be done. What Daniel just did could not be done is what every wise man had said. King Nebuchadnezzar hears Daniel describe his dream, and he knows this is what I dreamed. They said it could not be done, but yet here is this young man, and he is able to do it. The image is a man. This is how man sees himself ruling. We'll see later in Daniel how God sees man when he's ruling. A great image whose splendor was excellent. It was awesome, meaning that it was daunting. It was extremely impressive. The head was of fine gold, and we know that that is the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar, which means was ultimate rule. He ruled alone. No one ruled beside him. He had counselors he could ask, but he alone made every decision. Every decision, nothing, no one, he could change his mind if he wanted to. His yes could become a no. His no could become a yes. Life and death belonged to him. He was the ultimate. Chest and arms of silver, that was the Mede in the Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of bronze was the Macedonian Empire. The legs of iron were the Roman Empire. Feet and toes, partly iron and clay, Roman and the people. Stone that struck the image, that's God's kingdom. In verse 34, he tells him, he says, look, Daniel has just described to him what he saw. And then he said in verse 34, he says that, you watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces, and the whole statue is crushed together and carried away by the wind like chaff. With no trace of them was found, and they were forgotten and gone forever. This stone becomes a great mountain. Folks, let me tell you something. You look at all the history books, you read about all these kingdoms, and they tell you about their fierce generals and all the conquering they did, and marvel at their military might and their genius on the battlefield, and they talk about, oh, this kingdom brought this to the culture, this kingdom brought that to the culture, and they tell you all of these things, and man tends to glorify whatever man does. Okay? But what you have to realize that God showed this king, his kingdom, starting with his kingdom, with Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, through to what the eternity will be. And eternity will be God ruling. God will be the ruler. Listen, we got to stop, folks, before we move on to the interpretation. This is our God. This is our God. He has put his people into captivity under the Babylonians because they would not stop their idolatry because they were adulterous to him. They had watched Israel, the 10 tribes, be carried off by the Assyrians, and they became even worse. What are we doing as a nation? What are we doing as a church? Forget the nation. The church is who God will deal with. That's who God is dealing with, his people. All of these things that you think are so great, all of these kingdoms that the world has marveled at are going to be forgotten. They're going to be crushed all together and forgotten as though they never existed. But they only have a short time to reign. It's amazing. Because when God sets up his kingdom here, it will fill this earth for eternity. And there is no taking down the kingdom of God. God reveals this to Daniel that he would be encouraged by this dream. Don't you understand? God has shown all of the wicked rule that will come. But he's showing you the future. This is the future. This is the kingdom that we will be living in. Listen, no matter if our body falls in this earth, we have eternity promised to us to be living in that kingdom, that mountain that then consumes the whole earth. We'll be living in that kingdom. God's showing us the kingdom that we're going to be living in. God is saying, Daniel, I am on my throne. Don't look at your circumstances and think all is lost. I am is in control. This is me. Look down through the corridors of time, Daniel, to eternity, when the only kingdom on earth is mine. No wonder Daniel could praise and shout to the Lord. But stop, family of God. This is for us today. I want you to see Daniel today. Today for us. Take a moment to give a shout of praise to God Almighty, for it is his kingdom that stands forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it one time, and if you're afraid to say it in church, say it out loud in your quiet time when you're having your time alone with the Lord. Raise your voice to the heavens. Lift your voice to the heavens and give God a shout of praise. If you can begin to do that in your quiet time, when God moves in the service, you'll be able to do it then. You won't be afraid. You won't be fearful to say hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King and praise him. All the rulers today are allowed by God. Everyone that's in place, it's allowed by God. He alone puts them up. He alone takes them down. And since King Nebuchadnezzar, each one is more inferior to the one before. And as the mountain swells to fill the earth, each rule becomes more fragile. No matter how fierce they are, the fierceness of each one, the clay reveals the fragileness of their rule. And each one is only for a season. God's rule is not for a season, it's for eternity. There will be no end. You know, I think I'm going to stop right there, and then we'll pick up again. The study's going a little bit longer. I've got a lot, but I'd rather you take it in short bites, and then we continue again. Amen? Amen.